I was visiting Brother Rice a couple of minutes ago, and it was hard to realize that a week ago was his first day in this part of the country. And I have much enjoyed my fellowship with him during the period of time that he has been here. But it seems that each and every time you come to a new experience of coming before the Lord's people, it's an entirely new experience. When he and I were talking about coming down, I said, you know, that I've probably tried as hard to learn how to preach as anything that I know of, and I know as little about that as anything I know about. Because it's something that a man absolutely cannot do without the Spirit of God. Don't care how learned he is in the letter, it takes the deliverance of the Spirit to preach. And I know this evening that God is able to burden his heart and lift him up and hear our prayers and lift us up together with him. But I also know that if that doesn't happen, that our coming together this evening won't amount to anything. Let's all pray diligently to that end, that those things will take place. I ask Brother David Cook to lead us in prayer at this time, after which time we'll turn the service over to Elder J.R. Rakes from Patrick Springs, Virginia.
The Lord's already been in our midst and felt his presence. I'm glad to be with you tonight. I thank God for your good pastor and for this invitation. And I hate to leave Texas, I really do. But I want to go so bad untasted. Ain't it sort of hard to be in that shape? See, I found some people I love, and I feel like they love me. And just a week ago tonight, as I stood about this time, I guess, facing people I'd never seen, sort of strange that God's people can fall in love so quick. Brother, this prayer certainly blessed my heart. I realize I'm going to care. Every time I go, if the Lord's ever been in the arrangements, and I feel like he has been, and even tonight, I feel like even now he is, in spite of me. He's here. But every time I travel, the Lord is with us. I always carry more home than I was left with.
Thank you.
I thank you, and I trust you'll continue to pray. 12th chapter of Romans has finally centered on my mind, and it's impressed me so strong that I want to talk about it. And I doubt if I'll talk about it like you've heard anybody else talk about it. But I trust I'll talk about it in a way that you'll know it's so, and to bring a lesson from him. The writer, Paul, to the Romans, begins to beg them to do something because of something he's already said. He talked about the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, and how unsearchable his ways, his judgment and his ways past finding out. And after a little study of this 11th chapter, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I don't want you to think tonight that my standing before you, and yet I know I've got to present my body a living sacrifice if I get done what I want to get done. But if the Lord will bless me and enable me to preach, he'll not be a sacrifice, he'll be a blessing for me. Now, serving God is, in one sense, is not a sacrifice. I feel like if the Lord will enable you tonight, by his grace, to be lifted up and to be fed by the word of God, that there'll not be a sacrifice on your part, but a blessing. But I want you to remember that only those that's going to enter into this is those that's done presented their body a living sacrifice. Now, I want you to notice something as he gets on down, and we're going to just briefly go through a few things in this chapter. Because everything that Paul begins to tell us to do and that we need to do, he's told us how we'll have to do it. Now, in other words, we'll never do anything from that verse on through that chapter except we present our body a living sacrifice. Now, this last verse I want to tie tight to this whole chapter. We're living, I believe, brethren, in an evil day. And I know that this flesh is forever rising up against me, and I know it's evil. And Paul ended this chapter with this little verse, 2 lines long, 10 words, and says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, how are we going to do it, Paul? You're going to do it by presenting your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Now, I want you to notice as he comes down through it, he says, "For I say through the grace given unto me, and to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." I say tonight that if we're going to think right, we'll have to present our body a living sacrifice. You see, in this old body, this flesh, we've got to sacrifice. Oh, it wants to think itself something when it's not. It wants to esteem its own self better than anybody else. It's selfish and uncontrollable. It's saved, we crucified or slain. About the time you think you've got him whooped down, he'll rise up and defeat you. Why did the writer tell us to take heed when we think we stand, lest we fall? Who'll knock you down the hardest? It's Ai, it's the flesh. I doubt if many of us ever encounter. We pack it off on the devil. That's the way of the flesh, trying to justify itself. Cliff Wilson could say that, couldn't he? Devil made me do it. No. I doubt if the devil had anything to do with it. He don't even have to be around. It's enough of the old Adamic flesh in this building to destroy 10,000 worlds. Just a little tongue can destroy worlds and set on fire nations. So, in order to think right, you see, and as you begin to come on down, I'm just going to give you a few of them, and then I want to give you some, maybe even some experimental lessons to how to not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, he went on to talk about in verse 6 and these different gifts and according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And you begin to look at that and on ministering or he that teaches on teaches, and we're to wait on these things. But I say unto you, if we do any of these things as it should be done, first we'll have to present our body a living sacrifice. We've got to get the old man out of the way. And now, if you come on down, exhortation, that same in every principle. And I just want to hit this one because it's there, and I sure don't want to miss it on purpose. And I didn't put it there, but the 8th verse says, he that exhorted on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. If we are going to give, as the New Testament has instructed us, and I am sure your pastor knows how and has done instructed you, you're going to have to present your body a living sacrifice. It won't seem so out of tune when you do that. It will sound right, it'll be right, and you'll do it. Why? Because you've got this thing in order. Do you know why we don't want to do that and get our giving right and our teaching right, and he that ruleth our ruling lot right, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness? Because the old man, you got to remember, that's the only part of you that's covetous. That's the only part, that part that God give us, it's okay and it's perfect and it hasn't sinned, it can't sin, and it won't sin, and the old man won't quit. We've got to bring him in subjection. And you'll keep him there for just getting up every day, like Paul said, and just die. Die to the flesh and that desire. And the good part about it is the flesh is going to keep on telling you until that's done. That all this sacrifice, and I ain't going to be able to enjoy life. My friends, you ain't going to never enjoy life. Natural or spiritual. I'm telling you something that will give you some joy in the natural realms of this life. Till we'll present that body and do what God has told us to do. Now we're royal priesthood. A holy nation, and a priest that ain't offering up sacrifice ain't worth shooting. But what good are we if we're a priest and we ain't offering up any sacrifice? Don't want any dead ones, just living ones. Now, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I wish we could learn that lesson, old Baptist, and we won't never have to see any more division among them.
Amen.
Somebody let evil overcome them. And got overcome of evil. Instead of overcoming and doing what the Bible said and overcoming evil with good, their good was overcome with evil.
Amen.
And here we go. Where we stop, nobody knows. Let me prove to you that I'm not talking about evil people in this world. I want you to see tonight that we're the evil ones that's in question. Now you remember when our Lord told his people to pray, they came, he was praying. I'd love to hear it, but I didn't get to hear that one. I don't know why the Holy Spirit, he did it on purpose. Didn't move on holy men to pin down what he said. Didn't tell us where he was at when he said it, but he was in a certain place. And when he prayed, the disciples come and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he gave them the method. He laid it down for them, and then he said something else. He gave them a short story. Let me share that with you, because I'm going to get through it to show you that we're evil. After our Lord had told his people the method of prayer, he also taught them the need to pray. And he said, or what man, having a friend to come in and his sojourney, and he has no bread, and he goes to a friend, and he knocks on his door and says to him, says, wake, and I have a friend and his sojourn is come, and I have no bread to set before him. and said this man wouldn't get up and give it to him just because he was his friend, but just because he kept on knocking. Mm-hmm. Now, that looks like it's teaching us we've got to just keep on and on and on and on praying, but look, that is teaching us in contrast. Our Heavenly Father ain't like that, but that's not the lesson I want. When he got down there, now he told them, now notice what you had there. I want to throw this out just for good measure. You have a friend to feed. And just as quick as that friend to feed came in, this man that didn't have anything to feed him with, he become a friend in need. And this friend that gave him the loaves become a friend in need. We as God's gospel ministers are sitting here and getting ready to watch you people come through those doors. I tell you, there's your friend to feed. And just as quick as I get there, I become, and they come in, I become a friend in need. How many times have I went to the cupboard and find that the cupboard is bare, but I've got one that I can go to. He's a friend indeed, and he'll give me the bread that I can give the friend to feed. And don't you see how God does it? Now, after he told him that story, he gave us the surety of prayer. What man having a son? And he went on through it. If he asked an egg, would he give him a serpent? I might not get that right. I could kind of read it. Or if he asked bread, would he give him a stone? Or egg, would he give him a scorpion? Now he lowers it, boom, because every one of us answer those questions, no. If your children tonight ask for an egg, something to eat, and they was good for you till some doctors found out to kill you, you know. But anyhow, they was used in the Bible, and it looked like it was all right. Back in my day, it didn't hurt us because we raised our hands, and we'd hear them cackling. We'd go hunting some eggs. But the lesson is, if your children need something to eat, and they come to you and ask you for it, would you give it to them, or would you give them something that they can't eat, something not fit to eat? You'd say, no. Notice what he said. Then, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give good things to them that ask him? Now, if you being evil. And you see, I'm not talking about the mothers and fathers that won't take care of the children and won't train them upright and won't give them the things that they need. I'm talking about those that will do it. Our Father, when we compare ourselves to Him, we're evil. Amen. That lesson is all in contrast. Now, when we find out that we're evil, we must learn that we're not to be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, you see that first right here. Here's an old evil thing. Now, I've got to not let that old evil thing overcome me, but overcome that evil with evil, no, with good. Now, you know, me and my wife have sat down, and when I get this before, you know, I might have to come back to her. She sort of helps me preach. We sat down, and when I seen this, you know, and because me and my wife, we ain't never had but one fuss. I don't believe anybody believes it, but we just had one fuss, and it started when we got married. We ain't through yet. But I sat down with them when I saw this, and I said, honey, sit down here. I want to talk to you about this. I said, now I know that you're a good woman. And if I'd have looked the world over, I could have never found one any better. But you can't say that. And I want you to learn this lesson so you can help me. I'm going to be selfish in teaching of this lesson. When you see that old evil that's in me, and I went right through this to point out that men have both as evil. We're taking our kids the way we thought we were supposed to. But God said, if you've been evil, I said, well. And I said, I want to share something else with you. I said, you know as well as I know the good in you. I know how you've laid down your life for your children. You stayed at home and waited on them while this old preacher's running all over the country. Even back over yonder with another people just about rating wasting my time. And I said, but you know how I've labored and everything else to keep shoes on their feet and clothes on their back. I said, so we got some good. I want you to remember that. And that good comes from God. Now, when you see that evil in me, when you see it rising up in me, would you let that overcome you? You take your good that's in you and you overcome me. And when I see that evil that's rising up in you, I hope by the grace of God I take the good that's in me and overcome the evils in you. Now see if we could learn this lesson and not be over. Now let me tell you what will happen. If the evil that's in me overcomes the good that's in her, what have we got? You, that's where separation's in the home, that's where fussing and fighting and every problem that we have is because we're being overcome of evil instead of overcoming evil with good. That's what's happening in the church. Somebody come along, hurt your feelings. You see, you're going to have to be a living sacrifice if you don't hurt them back. But you know what it said here, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 17. So you see, we get overcome with evil instead of doing what the Bible simply told us. To overcome evil with good. I'm reminded of what was asked of one of the prophets. And I'm going to put it in my language because that's what he's saying. And it was concerning touching the body of a dead person. And the question was asked, if that which is clean touch the unclean, will the clean make the unclean clean? And the answer was no. And then another question, if that which is clean touches that which is unclean, will the unclean make the clean unclean? And the answer was yes. Now, look how simple that was. It's just like saying if I had grease all over my hands, some of this old Texas oil, you know, that's been pumped out of the ground, and I had it all over my hand, and you have a very white, clean, pretty hand, and you touch it, I'll tell you your clean hand won't make my dirty hand clean. My dirty hand will sure make your clean hand dirty. Now, isn't that simple? Now, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. I want to give you a few characters in the Bible. And this is very simple. Even our little children has probably read the stories about it. And maybe if I don't forget, I'll give you a personal story of a little girl that learned that lesson. Now she's 22 years old. And she says it has helped her all the way through high school. All the way through college. And it's helping her now. She teaches children. So say, Lou, don't you forget they still got some evil. And maybe it'll help that young woman be a better teacher. Instead of letting that, just cause it's evil, bring out evil in her, overcome it with good. Sometimes overcome it with good, it just take a good pal and just give them a good thrash. Now that ain't evil if you love them, because if you love them, you'll do that. If you don't do that, it's because you don't love them.
Amen.
Now, I'll not get into that. Might have to. Let's look at Daniel. And the reason I really want to go to Daniel, most all of us has not only heard about him, but there's some things that Daniel will show us that we need to be doing. As old Baptists, if we could just be Daniels. Now, they said, how in the world are we going to destroy Daniel? How are we going to find any accusation or any way that we can accuse this man unless we accuse him in the law and the way he keeps the law of his God? Wouldn't it be something tonight if the only way that this world, our brothers and sisters in this church, our sister churches all over the United States, if the only way that they could accuse us tonight was because we was keeping the law of our God. They said, I'll tell you how we can get him, old. We're going to make a little something that's going to be contrary to the law of his God and get him to bow down to us. So they went to the king and they drew up a decree. When you study Daniel, I'll turn over to cite you to the right place if I find it myself. And you'll find it in the 6th chapter. And they wrote up this decree that no man could ask any petition of any god. And if they'd put a little G there, I understood it. But they put a big one. Save thee, O king. What was they doing? Calling that king the big god? Anyway, that's the way the word did. And they're just going to last for 30 days. Don't sound bad, does it? We make 30 days, you know. Rather than hurt anybody's feelings or, you know. But old Daniel, and notice something. It said when Daniel knew that the right was signed, he went to his window facing the east. Must have some other windows facing somewhere else, but he went to the window facing Jerusalem. I'll get it right. Which was east, I'm supposing. I believe I'm... But anyway, he went to his window facing Jerusalem. Now, after he knew that if I do this, I'm going to be thrown into a den of lions. Asked you, was that an evil thing that was being done in that day? You'll have to agree with me, it was. Now, how did Daniel overcome it? By doing evil and say, I'll just have to obey it because I don't want to get thrown into the den of lions. No, he just kept praying like he always had. Just kept asking the same God that he had always had for what he needed, and he kept asking him. But I want you to notice one thing. He went to the window facing Jerusalem. If we would get down on our knees, and every time that we did, looking toward the welfare of the church of the living God, I believe, my friends, brethren, and sisters in Christ, that we'd see the God of heaven revive us again. We'd see glory come down. We'd see his train fill this temple and every temple where God's people are worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Oh, if we could just have the church first most in our mind. But you see, he didn't get overcome with evil. He overcome the evil with good. Who wound up in the... Well, Daniel got thrown in the lions, didn't he? But you know the angel of the Lord's down there. It don't make any difference where the world puts you if the Lord's with you. You know they put Joseph in prison. His... Pharaoh's wife had him put in prison. Because you was fleeing fornication, not me. Running. She made her accusation and put him in prison, but the Bible said the Lord was with him. Ain't so bad if the Lord's with you. But you see, Daniel overcome this evil but good. Old King come out the next morning and he hadn't slept any. He saw they'd done been deceived in this matter. Hollered to Daniel, and Daniel said, "Old King, live forever." You know what that king done had Daniel brought out, and who in the world was eaten by the lions? It was those men, and their wives, and their children. It was cast into that same lion's den, and those lions devoured them, just basically for me. So you see, Daniel wasn't overcome of evil. They overcome evil with good. You could go over to Haman and Mordecai. I don't know if I could be like Mordecai would. I'd sure have to present my body, living sacrifice. He's sitting right out there where he's supposed to be sitting, at the king's gate. And he heard two men conspiring, two chamberlains. And they was conspiring to lay hold on the king. And king told, and old Mordecai heard it, and he told Esther. Don't you think it's a telltale? Here was a man sitting at the king's gate. He had a job, and that was to warn. Well, he wasn't exalted for it. Wasn't nothing lifted up. Only one thing was done. They wrote it in the book of the Chronicles, the deed that Mordecai had done, how he'd saved the king's life. Just took a little note of it and put it in the book of the Chronicles. Well, meantime, when the king got ready to exalt somebody or promote a man, looked like to me it ought to have been Mordecai. He promoted Haman, the Jew's enemy. And Mordecai's a Jew. My goodness, he's going to get in trouble, isn't he? And when Mordecai came out, everybody just mourning Reverend Mordecai. Well, that's what it said. They wasn't reverencing. See, they was reverencing, but when he come to Haman, when he came to Mordecai, Mordecai wouldn't say, "Reverend Haman." He wouldn't bow down and he wouldn't reverence him. And here's a man got a great promotion. Everybody reverenced him but one man, Mordecai, and he goes home to old pieces. Now we think if we would just live like this, Bob said, it won't affect nobody. Did you know that the presence of a child of God in the midst of a false prophet will get that man so mixed up that he can't do nothing but stutter?
Amen.
And you can take a evil spirit in a man if we don't present our body a living sacrifice unto God, he'll get us in the same shape. As I've tried to talk to people that I could sense their evil spirit was in them, I get us like that. Blah, blah, blah. Don't remember nothing. Don't know where nothing is. Can't put two and two together. Can't do anything. Being overcome of evil. But old Haman, he just couldn't stand it. Went home, talked to his wife about it. She said, "We'll hang him." They began right away to build a gallows to hang Mordecai on. Well, you know what he done? He just kept sitting at the king's gate. They go on back up and sit down where he's supposed to be, doing what he was supposed to be doing. and just let Haman go about his evil way. Well, Haman's going to see the king. The king, he can't sleep this certain night that Haman is visiting him. And he had asked for the books of the Chronicles to be brought to him. Now, I want you to get the picture that the act of Mordecai has been recorded in the book of the Chronicles. And at the very day that this Haman is going to the king to speak to him and get that man to hang Mordecai, that's the very night that that king cannot rest, he cannot sleep, and it is a strange thing that he said, I want to read in the book of the Chronicles. And when he read it, he read what Mordecai, that Jew, had done for him. And when he read it, he was just wanting so bad to do something for him in return, and about that time, here comes old Haman. And he said, who's in the outer court? They said, Haman. He said, bring him in. And he said, Haman, what should the king do if he delighteth to exalt a man or praise him? I can't get the word. If the king, or what should the law do unto a man in whom he delighteth to reward? And Haman thought, well, surely he's talking about me. Because who would the king delight any more than honoring me, Haman? All the time he's thinking about Mordecai. But see, Haman don't know. And you know what that rascal said? He said, let the royal apparel. Here's old Haman telling the king what he thinks that he ought to do for a man that he wants to honor or to reward. And he said, I want you to take your royal apparel, and we'll put it on him. And we'll take your crown, and we'll put it on him. And we'll put him on the king's horse, and let a man take him. And put, I need to turn and find out what the king said he won't do to this man. Because whoever's going to have to do it is going to have to carry him up and down that street crying, this is a man that the king delighteth in honoring. I believe I done found him. I believe that's what it says. Now I'll read it. It said, let the royal apparel be brought which the king uses to wear, and the horse the king rideth upon, that's in Esther 6 and verse 8, and the crown royal which is set upon his head, and let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and that will lead him up and down the street, saying, this is the man that the king delighteth to honor. This is the man the king delighteth to honor. He says, you see that that's done to Mordecai. Now hang him. Had done come into this place and going to have Mordecai killed, and now he's got to put the king's apparel on him. He's got to put the crown royal upon him. He's got to put him on that horse that the king rides and go marching down the street with him. And this is the man the king delighteth to honor. This is the man. I'll tell you who got hung on it. Haman. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. That then was the king's wrath pacified. Now, how did he do it? You can't show me where this man ever. I didn't see him going, trying to get all these people on his side. King ought to honor me and honor Haman. He ain't trying to put Haman down. He's doing what the Lord told him to do. Sitting at the king's gate. And God got ready to reveal this thing. He brought it to pass. And Mordecai is good, overcome the evil in his day. Now, situation happened to me when I was with another people, and this was between me and my wife, but it was before I had saw this great truth. I hadn't seen it. Over the main. That word no means negative on either part. You can do either one. Done got them to get a home missionary and a foreign missionary. Sending money to them. We had them little prayer rooms we'd go to before. The men would meet on one side and the women on the other. We'd sort of have prayer requests. And by the way, wasn't nothing wrong with that. I think that's the best thing we'd done. Nothing wrong with praying. Men ought always to pray, not to faint. So we'd have our little prayer requests, and women would, and so when it come time for my wife to throw her little request, and that she said, I want you to pray for my husband. He's going crazy. He's losing his mind. And so those sisters, you know, they want to miss us that. And say, we're meeting Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They want to miss a Sabbath. They want to see what that crazy man was going to do. And they felt so sorry, you know, for Sister Esther, my wife, having to live with that crazy man. He's preaching false doctrine and heresy. And they're sort of keeping the men off my back. You know, if women want to go to church bad enough, women will just, the husbands will just about come, because they can just about keep on to them and get you to come. So there's all coming, and the men was going home and begging God to show them. They said, me and Brother Ray Clunk, one's wrong. Lord, show me who's right. They said, Lord, keep showing that I'm preaching right. So they just kept saying. Finally, when we walked out of that missionary baths, all of us for three was together. Still all. Lord's been good to us. But my wife, she hated to give all this up and turn all this loose. And I'd preach to the sleeper every night, and quick as we get up, I'd go right back to talking. I got up one morning, and I reckon I hit the wrong subject, and I said, started talking something about depravity. She said, depravity, 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 depravity. She said, that's all you preach. I started walking out that door. I done seen things gonna go flying in a minute. See, she's kicking against the prick so hard. I walked out of that door. She hollered out. She said, I don't believe nothing you preach. See, I'm still going. I hate you. And I hate God. You're talking about a poor man. Oh, I was poor after a while, but I wasn't poor when I heard those words. Something swelled up in me. I turned and I started back to that bedroom. And I was going back to do that woman bodily harm. Don't believe anything has ever made me as mad before nor after. And that did. And I walked through that door. And it's just like a sweetness met me head on. And I melted down just like honey from a honeycomb. Fell down beside of that bed that she had just about had made up. Began to weep and cry, oh God of heaven, open our eyes. Oh God, let us see the beauty that I'm seeing this time. The beauty of this kingdom.
how that thou didst have a people before the world began. Did come in the person of thy Son to represent them on the cross, in thy room, in thy stead, laid down thy life for them, that they'd all be with you in heaven and be satisfied. Got up and went on out. Never will forget of helping a brother-in-law lay cinder blocks. I got back in that evening. She had every Bible that I had down. Them things was laying all over the table and they concordance down. And everywhere the word elect or chose or chosen, she had found it and she'd read it. Now I've never had a problem from that day to this out of that one. Brethren, we're not to be overcome of evil, but we're to overcome evil with good.
Amen.
I want to leave you this one. After I'd seen it, this happened. My daughter was in about the 7th grade, 6th or 7th. And I came home one evening. I got on just a few minutes after she had got there off the bus. That little girl had done cried till her eyes, you know, were done swelled up. And she had done about quit crying time I got there, but she done going, you know. You ever get like that? Just couldn't quit, you see. Wanted to quit, but just couldn't quit. And I said, honey, what in the world's wrong? And see, she hadn't been able to tell her mother. And you won't believe how long it took her to tell me. You ever try to tell somebody when you're crying and couldn't quit? And she said, there's a boy on the bus. She told his name. And I evidently might have some way got mad at her, I don't know. And he hit her and he hurt her. And not only hurt her, but she might have had a crush on me. Something about young girls that they get interested in boys. I said this, I believe, one time in this boy's man's presence. I'm going to say it again. Because it's so. Young girls always get interested in young boys before the young boys are interested in girls. And by the time the boys get interested in girls, girls ain't interested no more. Isn't that funny? But what makes it like that, you reckon? But I believe that's what probably hurt her the worst, you reckon? And probably to see that everybody on the school was seeing the trouble she got into. But he did. He had hurt her because she had a blue place on the side where he'd hit her. And you know, when she quit crying, she said, Daddy, I hate him. And she began to tell him all the things that she hoped would happen to him, the things that she wanted to do. And I said, now, wait a minute, honey, I'll talk to you just a minute. And I used the boy's name. I knew him. He was a good friend. That boy's daddy was a good friend of mine. By the way, he still is. And if he knows that this ever happened, somebody else told him. Do you know what most parents would have done in a case like that? You know what you'd have done. And I know what I'd have done if I had to done what this said to do. If I'd have done what first come to my mind, Lord, I don't want to talk about that. It ain't, man shouldn't even talk in the house of God, the things that'll come to the old depraved man's mind to do. I said, honey, I don't talk to you about it. And I began to call his name. I said, do you think that what he's done to you is bad? She said, yes. I said, do you think people that do things like that are bad? She said, I sure do. And I just kept on him broadening on what she had, that boy had done to her. And I said, do you think people that do like that are bad and terrible and rotten and sorry and no good and no account? She said, I sure do. I said, why you want to be like him? You just sat there and told me you wanted to go do the same thing to him. 22 years old, she called me on the telephone, 4 hours from home, down there teaching, thanking me for the things I taught her when she was little, thanking me and her mother for chastising. She done got down there and they give her a group of kids that don't want to learn. Some of them can't. But you see, they group those that slow learners with ones that don't want to learn. You see, and they're giving that girl a terrible problem. And she's saying that the parents ain't disciplined, don't care anything about them. She called home thanking her daddy and her mother for every time we chastise, every time we whooped her. Said, no, daddy, I thank you for the lesson you taught me when I was in the seventh grade. Said, it helped me all the way through grade school and high school. And it helped me all the way through college. Brother, this will help us in our home. You remember that your helpmeet, your husband, that they've got an evil nature. That won't be taken care of until they are buried. I'll give you one more to prove it. Paul said, when the wood do good, evil's present with me. You remember those children got that side. And let's quit letting their evil overcome our good and get us into the same evil state so we can quit having some of these knocked down, drag out, even if it's just a word by. And let's remember it in the church. And why get all ill and judge your brother because some evil come out of him when you got the same potential in you? Get all mad and fretted up and ready to do him bodily harm? Wait a minute. It won't be for tomorrow and you'll be done something just as bad. Just because you didn't think it's bad don't make it not as bad. Still easy. But I beseech you, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God bless you.